All right, so chapter 9 of 1 Corinthians. We looked at this a little while ago in this class, actually. Verse 19, he says, "Though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them. To the Jews I became as a Jew, in order to win Jews. To those under the law I became as one under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law I became as one outside the law, not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those outside of the law." To the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak. I've become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessings. All right, so as you know, this is sort of the missionary directive. It's understood. What we learn from this is that we should, in order to try to save people and to get them to accept our dogma of salvation, we should be disingenuous with them and attempt to convince them that we share common values with them, just in order to convince them to believe what we believe, right? I mean, isn't that how that's understood? That Paul just like he's disingenuous and he just kind of fakes. You know, hey, you know, I'm around Jews, I act Jewish, you know, I'm around non-Jews, I act like a Gentile, you know, hey, you know, whatever, just make people feel at ease, so that that's kind of where that's understood. That's a problem, that's a real problem.
Yeah, I mean, what's the difference between the law of God and the law of Christ?
Right, yeah. So, I'll give you my understanding of this passage. Because we're plugging in, remember, we're trying to plug in the term under the law and understand it for what it might mean. But that's, I just want to say once more, that's really a terrible way to understand what Paul is saying here. It's just really not fair. So what does he mean? To the Jews I became as a Jew. Is he not a Jew? Yes, he is. Yeah, okay, so he already is a Jew. All right. In order to win Jews. To those under the law, now, here's the problem. If under the law means Jewish, isn't that redundant? To the Jews, I became as a Jew in order to win the Jews. To the Jews, I became as a Jew. Though, see, so this would be a problem. But I'm suggesting that when he differentiates here between a Jew, one who is a Jew, and one who is under the law, he is differentiating between Jews and proselytes. So he's saying, to the Jews I became as a Jew in order to win Jews, to those under the law, to those who are proselytes, I became as a proselyte, though not being myself a proselyte. And that makes sense. He's very proud of the fact that he's not a proselyte. In Philippians, we're going to look at this passage in a little bit, he makes a big deal out of that. So, though not being myself under the law, not being myself a proselyte, that I might win those who are proselytes, those who are under the law. To those outside the law, now this would be the Gentiles, the God-fearing Gentiles. I became as one outside the law, not being outside the law of God. You know, not saying that I'm not saying it's not incumbent upon me to observe the Torah of God. But I'm still under the law in the sense of under the authority of the law in the sense of under the law of Messiah, that I might win those outside the law. All right, so Paul's. Here's how I understand what he's talking about. He's attempting to bridge cultures. He's saying, I'm attempting to, you know, I can move in Jewish circles with complete fluency.
Yeah.
Because, hey, after all, right? I can move among proselytes with complete fluency. I understand them. I understand their issues. I grew up in the diaspora. I knew them. I knew people who were drawn to Judaism. I can identify with them. And with Gentiles, God-fearing Gentiles. I know Gentiles. I'm the apostle to the Gentiles. I can identify with Gentiles. I know what their issues are. I know what their concerns are. This is how I would understand what he's talking about. He's talking about bridging these differences for the sake of the gospel. All right, let's go look at that Philippians passage. What a disaster it would be if Paul really was, I mean, if that reading was the correct reading. It just seems like that would be such a disaster to have this idea of this disingenuous approach to mission strategies or whatever. Where is Philippians? There we go. All right. Philippians chapter 3. Here's this passage I was telling you about. This is Paul telling you that he's not, although he himself is not one under the law, he himself is not a proselyte. He says in verse 4, though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. As to the Torah, a Pharisee. As to zeal, persecutor of the church. As to righteousness under the law, and that's where I was going, blameless. In this case, the preposition is of the law, righteousness of the law, blameless. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Okay, so this one, in this case, it doesn't work. But it's being used completely. In fact, it's different. It should read righteousness of the law as regarding the righteousness of the law. Maybe it works. I don't think it works. But I think it's a totally different topic. And I think it's just a coincidence that it says under the law and came up. I mean, it's just the way the language worked. It makes no difference. Should have just left that one off. But then you would have thought I was trying to hide it if you went and did the homework yourself.
The ESV footnote does have Greek in the law, so it's saying that it's not really under.
Yeah. So then why translate it as righteousness under the law?
I have it as which is in the law. Not in the NASB.
NASB is the way to go. Okay. All right, so now we're finally up to the book of Romans, which we're allegedly studying tonight. But here's a few instances we've already seen of this under the law phenomenon, okay? And so I'm just looking at Romans 2:12 here. For all who have sinned without the law will also perish without the law, and all who sinned under the law will be judged by the law. For it is not the hearers of the law who are righteous before God, but the doers of the law who will be justified. All right, you remember that one? And now with the interpolations. For all those pagan Gentiles, those disgusting pagan Gentiles of Romans, of the opening diatribe in the Romans chapter 1, who have sinned without the law, which means without being Jewish, will also perish without the law as a punishment for violation of the universal standards that apply to all human beings. Ignorance is no excuse. And all who have sinned under the law as Jews will be judged by the law for violating the specific commandments and the covenant which the Jewish people received. For it is not the hearers of the law, the Torah, who are righteous before God, but the doers of the Torah. Who will be justified. Okay. That one we've already covered. This one also we've already covered. Romans 3:19. Now we know that whatever the Torah says, he's referring back to those passages he had just quoted previously. It speaks to those who are under the Torah, to those who are in the Torah, that is to the Jewish people. So that every mouth may be stopped, and not just the Gentiles, and the whole world, including the Jewish people, may be held accountable to God. For by the works of the law, meaning Jewish status achieved by conversion, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes specific knowledge of sin and therefore greater accountability. Okay. That's it. So what do you think? I think that we held up very well to this rigorous test. Yes?
I have a Strong's loaded on my app, and it says for Philippians 3:6 this, concerning zeal,
yeah,
persecuting the church, semicolon, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless.
There you go. I'm sure that's the most literal. Yep. Good. So that one's a non-factor, that Philippians 3:6. It's a different discussion. All right, otherwise, that's it, except for our passage. We're all the way back to where we started, our puzzling passage. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. And I think we're almost ready to tackle that, but not quite. One thing, we should do this first. Okay. Got to set this up a little bit. I know I've already done this in a previous class, so I apologize, but it's really important to understand what we're doing tonight. Paul's writing this epistle while he's staying the winter in Corinth, waiting for shipping season to open, you know, because the seas are too dangerous in the winter. So wherever you were when November hit is where you stayed, unless you're going to foot it across land, that's where you stayed until the water was navigable again. So Paul's wintering in Corinth, and he sends this letter to Rome, the Epistle to the Romans, and after that he heads home to Jerusalem. And when he arrives in Jerusalem, he has this encounter with James that I mentioned a couple weeks ago. But we saw earlier on in Romans, he made mention of false rumors about him. This was in Romans 3:8. He says, why not do evil that good may come? As some people slanderously charge us with saying, their condemnation is just. So this is just a little hint that there are people, believers, probably, you know, Jewish believers out there in the world who are saying, oh, you know what Paul teaches? You know that Paul guy? You know what he teaches? He teaches, you know, just do evil. Go ahead and sin so that grace may increase. You know, that's the rumor that's going around about Paul. And we're going to find that the chapter we're studying right now, Romans 6, is entirely built to refute that rumor. He gets to Jerusalem then a couple months later, right? And he gets to Jerusalem. He finds the rumors have gotten there ahead of him. And so back in Acts, I'll just read the story. This story is absolutely foundational to understanding Paul. When he gets to Jerusalem, he goes to James and the elders. And it says in Acts 21, verse 20, and when they heard it, they heard his reports and saw that all that he had done among the Gentiles, they glorified God. Then they said to him, you see, brother, how many thousands there are among the Jews of those who have believed, how many myriad Jewish believers there are. They are all zealous for the Torah, and they have been told about you, that you teach all the Jews who are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, telling them not to circumcise their children or walk according to our customs. What then is to be done? They will certainly hear that you have come. Do therefore what we tell you. We have four men here who are under a Nazarite vow. Take these men, purify yourself along with them, pay their expenses so that they may shave their heads. Thus they will... Everyone will know that there is nothing in what they have been told about you, but that you yourself live in observance of the Torah. But as for the Gentiles who have believed, we have sent a letter with our judgment that they should abstain from what has been sacrificed to idols, from blood, from what's been strangled, and from sexual immorality. So Paul took the men, purified himself along with them, went to the temple, gave notice of when the purification will be fulfilled, presented the offering. So, in other words, Paul endorsed the plan. He himself was already under a Nazirite vow. He's very happy to disprove these rumors that he's no longer a Torah observant Jew, that he's no longer a Torah keeping Jew. Why is this story so important? Because I believe it's these rumors that we're addressing in Romans 6 here. We had Romans